We are not quite the middle of the Easter season, and we praise God that Jesus is alive. We don't want to forget that Jesus is alive. We want to continually tell that story, because the resurrection is the greatest of God's mighty acts. As someone has said, God has always been in the redemption business. Our psalm today is considered an Easter psalm. In the Septuagint version, it's called a Psalm of Resurrection. It was used during the Jewish Thanksgiving feast, perhaps Passover or unleavened bread, which we did talk about on Easter Sunday, and first fruits. It is a psalm that compels us to praise our God for the great things that God has done. We praise God with shouting and singing, it says. Now, there's lots of ways to sing God's praise. Good worship song praise God's character and God's deeds. Good worship songs can tell stories of what God has done. Again, either what God has done in history or what God does in general, what God does for God's people, or what God does for an individual. Good worship songs teach the gospel narrative and sound biblical theology. Good worship songs tell a truth and point to the truth, Jesus Christ. Good worship music teaches or helps one to memorize scripture. Paul lists psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as forms of music that edify the body of Christ. Singing is a good example, is good for corporate worship, public worship, and private individual worship. Singing can be used evangelistically to convey the gospel to not yet believers in ways that they can hear and relate and understand. Music for each worship service is carefully chosen to go with a theme or a season in our church. Right now we're in the Easter season, so we're singing lots of resurrection songs. Lots of songs that center upon Jesus as our risen Lord and Savior. Next week, even though it's the middle of Easter, we're singing, it's Good Shepherd Sunday, so we're going to sing songs about Jesus as our Good Shepherd. The songs will celebrate Christ in that way. And then we'll be back to more Easter songs until Ascension Sunday. Our tradition tends not to praise God with shouting as much as other traditions do, but maybe we ought not be so afraid of doing so. Shouting celebrates the victories of our God. African American and charismatic churches are generally better at this than we are. Go to a black gospel concert, for example, and you will hear shouting to the Lord. You know, we're so quick to shout and cheer over the accomplishments and the good plays and the winning scores of our favorite sports teams. We unashamedly cheer and yell, not worrying about the attention that we might be drawing to ourselves in doing so, because we're not focused on ourselves in that moment. We're focused on what that team is doing. We're focused on the game. So why are we so less hesitant to shout and cheer over seeing somebody come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or somebody's healing, or when we experience victory over temptation, or when we see something amazing that God has done? Can we not take our eyes off of ourselves and focus them where they belong, on our Almighty Lord, so that we can worship Him unashamedly? Think of a time when you had a "this is awesome" moment. Where was God in that experience? Awesomeness always has its source in God. Do you give thanks and praise to God for those "this is awesome" experiences? Do you say, "Wow, God, you're awesome. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for giving this. Thanks for me allowing this." Or thanks for helping me to avoid that. We praise God for the things that God does for all people, for God's people in particular, and for us as individuals. God's goodness extends to all people, even those who do not believe in God. God grants life, health, beauty, daily needs to everybody. God gives love, and God doesn't require anything from anyone for them to receive these good gifts. God demands that we praise and glorify God, but many do not. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we can either choose to bow willingly, or we will bow under compulsion later. But God is good to everyone. We can help other people see the goodness of God in their lives. Now, there are special blessings that God gives to those who place their trust in Him. In this psalm, we hear allusions to the Exodus story and to the crossing of the Jordan. That for God's people back then, those were big events that God did for God's people. For us in Christ, we too have many special blessings. They belong to us. In Christ, we have authority to defeat all the power of the enemy. In Christ, we are made joint heirs with Jesus, God's adopted sons. In Christ, we are holy and blameless and perfect before God. In Christ, our sins are forgiven. In Christ, we are saved from the second death and given eternal life. In Christ, we can never be separated from the love of God and from God's presence. In Christ, our prayers are heard and answered. We have much for which to give God praise and thanks. The image of water is found again and again in the psalm. We have waters of creation, waters of the Exodus, waters of the crossing of the Jordan River. And perhaps we ought to be reminded of our baptism as well, since verse 9 tells us that God preserves our lives from death. So we praise God for the things God does for everybody. We praise God for the things that God does for us as God's people. And we praise God for the things that God does in our lives specifically. God cares about each one of God's children. Our God is personal. God doesn't just deal with us generally, but God speaks to us individually as well as a body. God has given us unique gifts and abilities with which we can bless others. God has shaped each of our lives in specific ways that allow us to see God and allow others to see God in and through us. What unique things in your life can you praise God for? What has God done for you? Maybe it is a way that the Lord drew yourself to Him or revealed Himself to you. Maybe it was a miraculous provision for a need that you had, for a healing that you experienced. Maybe it was for guidance you needed at a difficult time. Or maybe it was just the fact that God got you through something that you know you couldn't have gotten through without Him. What is it that God is doing and has done in your life? The psalm says that God took his people through fire and through water, and their enemies ran over their heads. That's what sometimes enemies would do if the people were still alive. If they were conquered in battle, they would run their horses across them to say, "Hey, we're victorious." But then it says, the Lord brought us into a place of abundance. So even sometimes God allows us to go through a really difficult thing, God brings us into a wide open space, a place of abundance. How has God brought you into a place of abundance? In the psalm, we're also exhorted to praise God for the things God has done in the past, the things He is doing right now, and the things that God will do in the future. We see praising God for God's past deeds, such as the Exodus and answered prayers. We see praising God for present deeds, in that God is still keeping watch over all the nations. and God preserves the lives of God's people. We see praising God for the future in that all of God's enemies will one day submit themselves to God. And we know that we can praise God for the resurrection that is coming, that we experience now. There's a lot for which we can praise God for. Think of the things that God has done in the past. We want to retell those stories again and again. Sometimes it's hard for us to see what God is doing now, but we can learn to do that. Sally and I, in experiencing God, we learned how to look for the ways that God is working around us so we can praise Him. And certainly in the future, we have promise after promise of the things that we know that God is going to do that we can praise Him for. Our psalm also uses two pairs of verbs that invite people to know God through praise: come and see and come and hear. This reminds me of show and tell. Remember show and tell in preschool and kindergarten? Did y'all have to do that? It's actually a really good tool to help children to learn how to speak in front of other people and to learn how to be descriptive with whatever object or thing that they're bringing in. So it's a really good thing to have show and tell for children. Well, as God's people, as God's children, we are called to show and tell the world who God is through praising God for God's mighty acts. So imagine that you're bringing God before an audience for show and tell. What would you want people to know about God? What mighty act that God has done would you use to tell people what kind of God it is that you have placed your faith and trust in? Here's God. I'm bringing Him to show and tell. What would you say? I read a story this week about a man named Ali. He's a Muslim background believer in Jesus who was so filled with the love of Jesus that he could not stop telling other people about Jesus. In 1 month, he had led 7 people to the Lord. He wrote in his journal, "I am so full of the Holy Spirit that lives in my heart that my small body cannot contain the measure of love He has given me." Ali told his wife Rebecca that he had set a new goal. He wanted to win one person to Jesus Christ every day for a year. But he didn't get to fulfill that goal because he was killed by terrorists shortly afterwards. He had been fully aware of the risks of sharing Jesus, but he was compelled to tell others anyway because he had experienced the mighty acts of the Lord. Ali's family lost a lot when he died. His wife and their 3 children were kicked out of their home and forced to live as refugees in a 1-bedroom apartment. But even Rebecca harbors no regrets and is filled with a supernatural peace. Even in loss and great grief, she too can tell of the mighty acts that God is doing for her right now. In the midst of her pain and suffering, God is still mighty, and she praises God. Maybe we're hesitant to show and tell a lost world of our amazing and awesome God because we don't feel like we're filled up with love like Ali did. Maybe we aren't practicing living by the Holy Spirit. Or maybe we love sin too much. Our psalm ends with a caution: "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." In other words, if I give value to sin, if I try to justify it or excuse it instead of renouncing it, the Lord will not answer my prayer. But if I confess and repent of my sin, the Lord will hear and extend mercy to me. The psalmist praises God for God's mercy and answered prayers. Thankfully, God hears my prayers. Do you feel like God doesn't answer your prayers? Are you holding on to a favorite sin, or have you renounced sin and praying to God to forgive you and to keep you from sin? do you need to be filled up with the love of Jesus so that you can pour it out to other people? Are you having a difficult time imagining a show and tell scenario of something where you could bring God in and say, this is a great thing that my God has done for me? If so, then start with the past. Start with the things that you know that God has done. Start, for example, with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The Jewish people recounted the story of the Exodus again and again and again and again on a regular basis, and that story never got old. It never got old. The same is true with the story of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It never gets old. It is the greatest story that we can tell. It is the greatest thing for which we can give God thanks and praise. All of the stories of Jesus never get old. Ask God to give you eyes to see what God is doing around you. God is always at work around us. Pray that we can see God's mighty acts in our lives. Praise God for the future things that you know, because it's promised in God's word that God is going to do. And praise God for his works and his mighty deeds. May you know the things that God is doing around you and in and through your life. May you not only sing God's praises, but have the courage and the unlimited ability to shout, hallelujah, God, you're awesome. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you because you are indeed a mighty and awesome God, and you have done great and mighty things. You are still a God who does great and mighty things. All the time, you are good. Lord, thank you for Jesus. The stories about him never get old. The story about you loving us so much that you sent your son to die and rise again on our behalf so that we can have a relationship with you never gets old. May we have the passion and the courage to show and tell the world about our mighty God so that they too might come to know you and to love you and to place their trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.